Prologue. The initiate climbed the final three steps carved into the mountain, then collapsed to the ground in front of the temple doors. The freezing wind cut through his furs to bite at the skin beneath, and the snow began burying him as soon as he stilled. But he didn't care. Years of praying, months of searching, and a week of danger and privation all fell away as he rolled to his side to get a view of what he'd just accomplished. The path down was now shrouded in clouds and blowing snow, but it was more beautiful than anything he'd ever seen. He'd made it. Finally.
"Welcome, brother," a man said in a thick American accent.
Then a hand was gently taking his arm to help him stand and see that it was the same monk he'd spoken to in Delhi just days before, the one who had convinced him to make this trek. The white man was shorter and had more weight around his middle, yet somehow he'd made it up the path quicker and in much better condition. He looked warm and healthy, as if he'd been there for days. It was a good sign that this was indeed the right place. The initiate straightened.
"This is the Chupaprakash Temple?"
he asked, knowing that it must be, but wanting to speak the words for himself to hear. The monk nodded and took his arm.
"Only a few steps more. Come and see."
The temple was carved into the side of the mountain and supposedly ancient, with huge stone pillars flanking the entrance and the faint outline of reliefs still showing where untold years of wind and weather had yet to fully erase them. The initiate allowed himself to be led through a set of huge wooden doors that looked newly fitted, and the warm, sweet-scented air that rushed out to greet him filled his legs with strength.
"I've come to study at the feet of the master," he said.
The monk nodded.
"As have we all. You'll get there."
The inside was bright and comfortable, and as he looked around, the initiate could tell that the place had been restored to a degree that seemed impossible for just the 3 months the group had supposedly been there. The intricate wall murals looked freshly painted, and the gold leaf on every carved surface seemed to glow with an inner light that reflected from the polished floor like dawn over still water. They passed a small ebony table that held an array of teas and breads and pastries, and he was reminded keenly of his dry throat. But he didn't dare ask for any trivial comforts when he was so close to the greatest one of all. If he'd at last found a true path to enlightenment after all these years, he would soon be beyond such base bodily demands. He turned to the monk and pulled him to a stop.
"Tell me, please, has he actually transcended? Is he truly what he claims? So little in my life has proved true. I beg of you."
The monk smiled crookedly.
"Oh yeah, he knows the other side better than anyone. You'll see, buddy."
They walked past a large central chamber where they finally saw more members of the sect. All were young, very fit, and intensely focused as they quietly went through martial art forms together. But even at a glance, their movements seemed odd, and the room itself was filled with a kind of heat haze that almost appeared to radiate from the people themselves. He turned his eyes away quickly as they continued through a stone corridor dotted with a dozen more open rooms, and his worry only grew to find all of them similarly occupied with people in combat, prayer, or silent meditation. The place seemed almost full to bursting, in fact, and that wasn't at all what he'd expected. He'd wanted to be among the first students to arrive, the first of the devoted, but now he could only hope there was enough room for him among the throng. The hall stopped at a set of simple double doors, and as they approached, the sound of soft sitar music drifted out to them. The monk stepped forward and knocked, then pushed the door open a crack to speak through.
"A new one, Lord," he said. "This one came alone."
The music shifted and increased in tempo, resolving into something that sounded vaguely like American rock.
"Bring him in," a man said to the beat of the song. "Let's not take up all his sweet time."
The monk pushed the doors wide, and the initiate tentatively followed to find an older white man sitting on a pile of cushions before an altar.
He was unremarkable, except that he was wearing a formal suit and had a wide scar that ran up the side of his face to disappear into a thick mop of slicked hair. He grinned as they entered, but quickly bit his bottom lip during a particularly fast section on the purple sitar he was abusing. The music ramped up to a jumble of sliding chords and slapped strings. Then he finished with a single mighty strum and held up his hand as if expecting applause. The monk obliged and threw in a whistle for good measure. But the initiate didn't dare.
"Voodoo child?" the man prompted. "Jimi Hendrix."
He tossed the sitar aside and rose.
"Well, it is better on guitar. Welcome to my humble temple. I know it's not much yet, but we're working on sprucing it up. Hot tubs are rather difficult to get up a mountain. It's something you don't consider when choosing a decent lair."
The initiate could only nod numbly as he fully took in the room. The altar behind the man was dominated by the image of some toothy, horned demon, grinning down as if it knew something he never would, and piled in overflowing mounds at its feet were offerings of decadent foods, alcohol, hashish, and many articles of intimate clothing. But worse still, the altar actually seemed like the holiest section of the entire room. One large area beyond was nothing but screens playing news channels, interspersed with violent movie scenes and pornography. And it was so instantly overwhelming that he had to look away to the next horror. A massive bed holding two women quietly chatting over a drowsing man covered in red welts. But the most striking feature of the room was a floor-to-ceiling window through which the Himalayas were visible in all their glory. It was 12 feet square, crystal clear, and so perfectly fitted that a god might have simply wiped away the stone there. The view was marred only by a squat man crouched in front with his tongue lolling like a dog's, and by what appeared to be a helicopter parked on a pad just outside. The initiate swallowed his intense disappointment and turned back to bow.
"It is possible I have made an error in coming here."
The man in the suit waved the comment away.
"Unlikely. You seek enlightenment, do you not? A path to the other side."
The initiate glanced at all the worldly trappings and vices.
"Yes, but..."
The man spread his arms.
"Well, we have it on tap."
"I am sorry, but I do not believe you do."
The man's face fell, and a look of childlike confusion passed there, only to be quickly replaced by annoyance.
"Boring," he said, gesturing to the monk. "I don't want to do the whole song and dance today. Let's just skip to the good part, shall we?"
The initiate tried to take a step back, but a hand suddenly shoved him forward and his weak legs betrayed him to the floor. Then the older man was there above him, wrapping a hand around his head to dig thumb and forefinger into his temples. The initiate cried out once. Then the world ceased to exist. Awareness snapped back on like an electric light. But the room had vanished to be replaced with a single point that he instantly recognized as the hard, white bud of his own chakra. At first, it was alarmingly lifeless within him. But all at once, a red-gold energy suffused his mind's eye with a torrent of living power that forced it to blossom like a lotus. And before he could think to stop it, he was rising above himself to see his own body lying there useless and empty on the floor. Then he rose further to see the entire room, and then out through the temple and above the mountain, then the continent, then the world. He pulled up and up, back and back, until stars streaked and galaxies melted and the universe diminished to nothing in a place that was not. When he finally stopped, he emerged into what he assumed had to be the womb of light itself, and the joy of it scoured him clean of every other emotion and thought.
The glow seemed to come from everywhere to drench the curling mists in an endless white, the color of rainless clouds or sightless eyes. And the dreams that swam through it, and were it, began turning to him as he dissolved to join them. It only took a moment to find the enlightenment he'd always sought, or at least his version of it. But by then, there was nothing left of him with which to appreciate it. The Umbra looked up at the god who had pulled it free from the nothing. It could feel that the flesh was too big, floppy, weak. But flesh it was, and flesh could change. It probed the human brain to find the words to work the mouth, then it shoved them out one by one.
"You strong, master."
"What
you want?"
Akamana smiled.
"Nothing much. This world, for a start. We'll see how things play out from there."